Okay, good morning and good chodesh, everybody. Today's daf is Erevin daf kuf. We are holding on daf tzadi tesem beis. We are about 10 lines before the Mishnah on tzadi tesem beis. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by shul members, Lezecha Nishmas, Rabbi Laura Jonathan Sachs, Lezecha Tzadok Levracha, and it's also sponsored by Michelle and Aaron Moshe Roth and family in memory of Michelle's mother, Elizabeth Bunny Small, Bunya Bas Chaim Anshul, Allah Shalom on our first yard site, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So today, first we're going to finish up to the Mishnah. We're going to discuss throwing things from a Rosh Hashanah, from your house, into an Ashba, which the Mishnah said is Mutter, but we're going to talk about why aren't we concerned that the Ashba might be removed at any time, and then you'll come to violate an Isra, you'll continue to throw things there. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Tesem is going to talk about carrying in an area under the branches of a tree. If the branches of a tree hover over the surrounding area, are you allowed to carry there? We're also going to talk about sitting on the roots of a tree when those roots protrude above the ground. And the Gemara is going to have a machlokas between Rabbah and Rav Sheshes about the specifics of the Isser to use the roots of a tree, and we're going to have three practical nafkaminas between them. The Gemara is then going to have a contradiction between two brises about somebody who's already in a tree. Let's say you've already climbed a tree. You're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. You're not allowed to be in a tree on Shabbos. But what do? You can't climb down either, so we're going to have a machlokas whether you're supposed to climb down, and we're going to have three ways of understanding the machlokas. We're going to try to connect that machlokas to an entirely different machlokas about throwing dam on the mizbeach under certain circumstances, but that connection is not going to hold true in the end. And then the Gemara is going to have a stira between two brises whether it's usher to sit on roots of a dried out tree as well. If the tree is already dried out, is it usher to sit on those roots? And we're going to resolve that stira. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to go through several rules of proper etiquette when it comes to intimacy between man and wife, marital relations, and in that context we're going to talk about the various klalos that Chava received, whether it's 10 curses, 13 curses, various klalos that she received, and the different midos. We're also going to talk about the different midos that we can learn from different types of animals, that even if a person didn't have anywhere else to learn these things from, just by looking around at the way the Ribbono Shel Olam made different animals, we can learn tzniyus, and we can learn all sorts of interesting and important midos just from the animal life around us. So let's begin. Again, we're about 10 lines before the Mishnah at the two dots. Ashba v'Rosh Hashram. So we said if you have an Ashba that's 10 tefachimah in Rosh Hashram, and you're throwing things out of your window, which is Rosh Hashanah, into that Ashba, which is also Rosh Hashanah, that's fine. So it says, Rav Lachi Shin Shemati Natel, Ashba, why aren't we concerned that the Ashba might be taken away, and then you're going to end up throwing out from Rosh Hashanah into a Carmel, or even worse, into Rosh Hasharabim. V'amar Rabin Barada, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Maisa b'Mavoi Echad. After all, didn't we learn the story of a certain Mavoi Sasum, where you had a street that in one end was a mechitza of the Chatzeros, or the Batim, and the Bnei Chatzeros would go through that Mavoi to the Rosh Hasharabim, and on the two sides of the street there were no Chatzeros, there were mechitzos. But let's say those mechitzos were made up of the following: Shetzida Echad Kolal Yam. One open end of the Mavoi ended in the Yam, and the Yam had an incline that was halachically a mechitza. V'tzidu echad kolal yashba, and the other side had a big ashba on the other end of it, and that ashba formed a mechitza on the other side. So Abba Meisel Fnei Rebbe, said they went and they asked Rebbe, is this considered a Mavoi Sasam that you could be metaltal in it through a lech yurakora without being concerned of any iser? V'lo amar b'lo iser v'lo hiter. Rebbe wouldn't say an iser, nor would he say a heter. Why not? Heter lo amar b'lo d'chashin sham tinat al ashba. He didn't want to be matir because he was afraid maybe the ashba would be removed and then that mechitza would be gone. V'yala yam sirton, or the riverbank is going to change and it's not going to have a steep incline anymore and that mechitza will be gone. But iser lo amar b'lo d'chayam mechitzos. But he couldn't say iser either because there are mechitzos there right now. But bottom line is, you see that he was concerned, why aren't we concerned in our case of throwing out of the window Rabbi was choshe when it belongs to an individual, and that's when it's asuli natal. But when our Mishnah is talking about a rabbim, it's not the derech to remove an ashba of a rabbim. Okay, period. Now we're up to the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, ilan shayim mesach ala aretz, if you have a tree that hovers over the ground, it may not have a kavam in aretz. If the ends of the branches are within three tvachim of the ground, it hovers all the way over to the point where the branches reach within three tvachim of the ground, so it creates a mechitza all around the area under the tree. So metatal and tachtav, then you can be metatal under the tree because it's mukaf mechitzos. Shrashav kva minar shosh tvachim lo yeshav alehen. If the roots of the tree are three tvachim off the ground, then you're not allowed to sit on those roots. That if the area under the branches of the tree is larger than a base asayim, then you no longer have a heter tiltal. Even though we said that if the branches reach within three tvachim of the ground, it's surrounded by mechitzos, so it's a rosh hashiach, so it's fine, you're allowed to carry there. But if it's larger than a base asayim, you're not allowed to. My time, why in the world would it be a problem? Don't we know that whenever something is larger than a base asayim, that's only a problem if it's not hukaf ledira? But as long as the area is hukaf ledira, as long as it's an area that the mechitzos are there to protect what's inside of them, and that you can live inside of those mechitzos or do tashmish dira inside of those mechitzos, it doesn't matter how large it is. Says Mar Mishum Davi Dira she tashmish laavir, the kaldira she tashmish laavir and metalim beyasim beis asayim. Now this is not considered hukaf ledira because the whole use of enjoying the shade of that tree is so that you can watch over the fields that surround that tree. So the primary usage of the area under the tree is not for the sake of the area under the tree. It's for the sake of the surrounding area, and that's not called hukaf ledira. That's called tashmish laavir, and therefore you have a limit of beis asayim. Shoshav gavah min haaretz. We then said that if the roots are three tvachim off of the ground, so then you're not allowed to sit on them. So itmar shrashi ilana badmi lemalim yishlosha l'tok shlosha. Let's say you have roots that protrude more than three tefachim off the ground, but then dip back down to within three tefachim of the ground. And now you want to use the part that's within three tefachim of the karka. Tosa Rush points out, and it can't be that it then goes all the way back into the ground, because if that were the case, then everyone would agree that you're allowed to use the part that's within three tefachim of the ground, because it's batalaga of the karka. On that end, that would be motor. No, we're talking about where it protrudes above three tvachim out of the ground, and then dips within, but it doesn't go all the way back into the ground. So Rabba Amr Mutal L'Shamish Ben, Rav Sheshes Amr Las L'Shamish Ben. So we have Machlokas, Rabba and Rav Sheshes. So Rabba Amr Mutal L'Shamish Ben, Rabba says you're allowed to use those roots to call Pachs Mishlosh Da'ara, Arahi, that anything that's within three tvachim of the ground is considered part of the ground. That's the Din of Lavud. Rav Sheshes Amr Also L'Shamish Ben, Dekim and Dimikoch, Isr Ka'asi, Asurin, that since they come, Mikoach, and Isser, they are Usser. Meaning, since they themselves were Usser, that root itself was initially Usser, how could it be Mutter when it then grows further? The root was growing out of the ground, Usser, 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 and then it grows even more, and now that it grows more, it's going to become Mutter. That can't be, so it must be that it remains Usser. So says Gemara, there are going to be three ramifications of this Machlokas. Number one, the Damu Kimishu Nisa, the Sulkin the Eila Asurin, the Nachtan the Tasai Sharu. That if the roots are in such a way that they're shaped like a mountain peak, so the that which goes more than three tvachim above the ground, and there are small roots that go toward the ground out of the large root, so that which is the sakan le'ilah, the portion of them that's more than three tvachim above the ground, that's asr. Everyone would agree that's asr. Dinachtan tasai, the lower part of the beginning of the roots that are all close to the ground, that's right near the tree, that everyone agrees sharu. That's the divrei kol. But the first case where we have machlokas between Rabba and Rav Sheshes is litzadim, the small roots that go from the higher place, from the large root that go down toward the karka within three tvachim. So that's plukta. That's the machlokas de Rabba Rav Sheshes. That initially, when they grow out of the large root, they themselves were in a very high place that's asur b'shimush, that you're not allowed to use. And even though now they're close to the ground, Rav Sheshes would asur it because they come mikoach iser. But according to Rabba, would be mutter because there's some machlokarka within three tvachim of the ground, and therefore they're going to be mutter. A second ramification of this machlok, a second case where they would argue v'chein anigra. If you have a ditch, let's say that the tree is growing out of a ditch, so you'd have a similar situation that do we measure three tvachim of a tree planted in a ditch from the ground above the ditch? That would be Rabba, or from the bottom of the ditch? That would be the shita of Rav Sheshes. V'chein Ein Bekeren Zavis. And the third case where they argue is that the tree is located at the right angle where walls meet. So do we measure from the top of the walls? That would be Rabbah, that we even measure within three Tvachim of the top of the walls, or the ground at the base of the walls? That would be Rav Sheshes. That's where we measure the tree from. And the Gemara is about to say, and that Machlokas is going to apply to a tree that sticks through a skylight of a house. Hahu Dikla Davla Abaye. Abaye had a certain tree. Vavasalik bi ipuma, and it was growing through a skylight in the house. So Asal Kamed Rav Yosef. So now you want, but it didn't go more than three tefachim above the skylight of the house. So Asal Kamed Rav Yosef. So Abaye came to Rav Yosef to ask him about the branches that are at the very top of the tree. Can you do you measure the branches from where it protrudes above the skylight? And if it's within three tefachim, you're allowed to use those branches on Shabbos, or do we measure it from the base of the tree? And it's way more than three tefachim off the ground, and it's aser. So v'sharaleh, Rav Yosef was matir. He says it's not considered to be more than three tefachim off the ground. So Rav Acha bar Tachlifa. So Rav Acha bar Tachlifa said to Abaye that heter that Rav Yosef just gave you is not universally agreed upon. D'sharaleh ki Rabba sharaleh. The fact that Rav Yosef was matir is because he's assuming like Rabba. But Rav Sheshes, who asered roots that come mikoach iser, would asser this as well. So says Mar Pshita. Well, that's obvious that according to Rabba, that it's not aser on account of coming mikoach iser, and according to Rav Sheshes, it will be aser because it comes mikoach iser. Rav Sheshes, it's obvious that it's subject to that machlokas. So no, mal de tema afilu Rav Sheshes, even Rav Sheshes, basic command mali dami. I might think that even Rav Sheshes would aser because it would be matir rather because he would consider as if the house is full and therefore the entire house is considered ground, and it's considered that the tree that goes out from the skylight is the first three tefachim are like three tefachim from the ground. And Rav Sheshes would be moda the lishtamish paks mishosha samach legag. Therefore, I would think Rav Sheshes would be moda that you could use those first three tefachim above the roof level. So come ashmalan. That's why Rav Acha had to explain that even in such a case, Rav Sheshes would aser, and Rav Yosef is only matir because he holds like Rabba. So when you got that psak from Rav Yosef that this tree protruding through the skylight is mutter, it's because he holds like Rabba. So now the Gemara says, well, wait a second, is Rabba going to, does Rabba's Shita conform with our Mishnah? Tanan, the Mishnah said, Shroshav Gavon Minar Shoshav Tvachim Lo Yeshav Aleihem, that if you have roots that go more than three Tvachim off the ground, you're not allowed to sit on them. Well, Hechidami, Idelo Hadri Kaifi, if we're talking about roots that never dip back within three Tvachim, Pshita, obviously you're not allowed to sit on them. Why do I need a Mishnah to tell me that? Elav Alvagav the Hadri Kaifi, it must be that we're talking about a case that it does go back to within three tefachim of the ground. And the Tana is telling me that you're still not allowed to sit even on the part that's within three tefachim of the ground. And that's a Kashan Rabbah who said explicitly that yes, you are. That if it protrudes above three and then goes back within three, Rabbah said you are allowed to sit. But isn't that exactly the case the Mishnah says, Aser? So it says, well, lo, don't bring any rice from the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about where it does not dip back within three tefachim of the ground. V'haka mashmalan. You want to know what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is? That even though on one side of the root it's even with the ground, because the ground itself is not even. So on one side of the root it's more than three tefachim above the ground, on the other side of the root it's even with the ground. So I might have thought that you're allowed to sit on that because it's considered to be even with the ground. That if you're coming from the side where it's where the ground is lower and the root is more than three tefachim off the ground, you may not sit on it. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. If you have the roots of a tree that are three tefachim above ground, or you have hollow space below them, that's three tefachim. Even though one side is even with the ground, you're not allowed to sit on them because there's a halacha midir abanan that you're not allowed to climb a tree. You're not allowed to be ola b'ilan. You're not allowed to be nitzel b'ilan to lean with your arms on a tree. You're not allowed to lean with your body, with your back on a tree either. And the Brisa adds, and by the way, you're not even allowed to climb a tree before Shabbos to spend the whole Shabbos there. So assume you have a tree house or something. So you want to spend the whole Shabbos in a tree. You're not even allowed to do that, even though you climbed the tree before Shabbos. And this is true, Echad Ilan, Echad Kol Behema. This is true not only of trees, but also by a Behema. Because the Mishnah says in Maseches Beitza that Elohim Mishum Shavuos, you're not allowed to be Rochev Al Gabe Behema on Shabbos Yantav either. And the Gemara over there explains that it's a Gezerah because is when you come to ride, when you ride the behema, you might come to cut a branch from mechuber lekarka in order to guide the behema, and that's going to be a chiv mishum tolish, which is a tolda of the malacha of kotzer. So behema as well, aval bar, but a bar that's in the ground, or a shiach, or a long narrow ditch in the ground, umaara, or you have a cave in the ground, vegeder mitapes for all the mitapes viore. That you're allowed to climb up and climb down. There's no iser. It doesn't matter how tall they are, even if it's 100 amos, there's no iser, because by the elam, by the behema, the only iser is shemi yitlosh min hakarka. It's not about climbing. Climbing is not the problem. You can climb all you want, but it's only when there's a concern that you might detach something from the ground, which is shayach by a behema, and certainly shayach by an elam, certainly shayach by a tree, but that's not shayach by a cave. So you want to go climbing in the caves, that's perfectly fine if a person is interested in doing that. So tanichad, now the Gemara brings a new stira between two brises about someone who already climbed a tree. Now what do? Do you go down or do you stay there? So tanichada im ala mutar leirid, v'tanichada asur leirid. One brisa says you can come down. The other brisa says no, you got to stay there the rest of Shabbos. So I'm going to have three resolutions to this stira. Number one, lo kasha kan mi bod yom kan mi shechashecha. The brisa that says you're allowed to come down is talking about where you climbed during the week. So you just didn't have a chance to come down before Shabbos. So you haven't yet done any Avera by climbing, and therefore they're not going to make a knas on you that you can't come down. But the Brisa that says you're not allowed to come down is where you did an Avera by climbing. So the knas is that you're stuck there. V'yibay Seyma, second resolution, Havaha Mishecha Shecha. No, they're both talking about where you climbed on Shabbos. Lokash, kan b'shogeg, kan b'mezid. But when you did it b'shogeg, we don't make a knas for someone who does something b'shogeg. But if you did it b'mezid, good. So then there's going to be a knas, and he's going to be punished. He's got to stay there. V'yibay Seyma, third resolution, Havaha b'shogeg. It was on Shabbos, and you did it b'shogeg. V'acha b'kans b'shogeg, got to mezid. Kamifli, marasav kansinan, marasav lo kansinan. That this is the shas machlokas. Do we generally make a knas of a shogeg to mezid? So that's a machlokas that you have between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda Maseches Gittin about konei shogeg to mezid, and you have all over the place. So do we say that since had he done it b'mezid, he'd be worthy of a knas? So even when he does it b'shogeg, he's going to get a knas. Why? How does it make sense to punish someone who did it b'shogeg? Maybe the idea is that a person could always say, ah, shogeg aisi, I was a shogeg. So the knas is never going to apply to him. So in order for the knas to have any teeth, in order for the knas to ever work, we have to be konei shogeg to mezid. Amar Avuna Brei Rav Yeshua Kitanai. Maybe this whole machlokas about whether you're allowed to climb down from the tree is really a machlokas tanaim in an entirely different context than Maseches Zvachim. The Maseches Zvachim, we talk about the Nesinas Dam al Gabei HaMizbeach. There are some karbanos where you do a matan achas on the Mizbeach, some karbanos you do matan shtayim shein arba, and sometimes you do matan arba. So nisan b'matan achas shenisar b'nisan matan achas. Let's say you have blood of karbanos that are supposed to be placed only once on the Mizbeach that gets mixed with other karbanos that are also supposed to only have one matan dam on the Mizbeach, namely the dam of a Bechor. Rashi gives the example. Dam of Bechor only has a matan achas, but you mix the dam of two Bechoros together. Yinasim matan achas. So good, so do a matan achas, because that's for sure going to be Yotzei, the Chiyuv Zrika of both Karbanos. Matan arba b'matan arba, yinasim matan arba. If you have dam of a carbon that requires matan arba mixed with other carbon that requires matan arba, so dam chatas mixed with another dam chatas, good, do a matan arba on the Mizbeach, and that's perfectly fine. That's obvious, but here's where it gets tricky. Matan arba b'matan achas. Let's say you have a carbon chatas, dam of a carbon chatas, which needs to be placed four times in the Mizbeach, b'matan achas, with dam of a bechor that only gets matan achas on the Mizbeach. So now you're stuck. If you can do matan achas, you're not going to have fulfilled the matnas dam of the chatas. You do a matan arba, and you will have done more than you're allowed to do with the dam of the Bukhar. So Rabbi Elezer Omer, Yinasim Matan Arba. You go with Matan Arba, because the mitzvah saseh of Zrikas Dam properly with a carbon is that where you have to do four times as is a more powerful mitzvah than the iser of being mosif on the matan dam of the bechor. So the asay is doche the los asay. Even though yes, there's a los asay of baltosif to do more than once with the bechor, but there's a mitzvah asay with the chatos to do it four times. So we apply asay doche los asay. That's how Rashi seems to be saying that this is part of the general principle in all of shas of asay doche los asay. If you look at Rashi in Zvachim on Daf Pei, Rashi says that the reason of Rabbi Lazar is not because that you're not in violation of Al Tosef at all, because we view the extra matanos as if it's just mayim, as if it's not dam, and therefore it's not a violation of Al Tosef at all, not Aseh Dochalos Aseh. And that's what Tosas writes over there as well. So Tosas says, why not Aseh Dochalos Aseh? Tosas raises the issue, why isn't it, shouldn't we just simply apply the principle of Aseh Dochalos Aseh like Rashi does? So he says, no, the only say Aseh Dochalos Aseh in a case where the Aseh Me'ikaro is so said alav. Like you have a case where you have tzitzis on the beged of Pishtan, where tzitzis needs to be wool, because the only thing you could dye with tcheles is wool, but a beged of Pishtan is chayev in tzitzis. So by virtue of the fact that the Torah made such a din, there has to be that the Aseh is docha the los Aseh. But when it's your own negligence that caused you to be in this situation, that you therefore have to violate a los Aseh, we're not going to apply the principle of Aseh docha los Aseh. So over here, had you not accidentally mixed the dam together, you wouldn't have be in a position to violate the los Aseh. It's only through your own pshia that happened. We're not going to apply Aseh docha los Aseh. Other Rishonim, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz and the Rashba and the Ritva, say that no, there's another reason based on what the Gemara says in Zvachim Daf Sadi Zayin and Beis. They ain't Aseh docha los Aseh shebemikdash. They ain't a chinami. It should be a case of Aseh docha los Aseh. Problem is, this is in the mikdash, and the rule is ain't Aseh docha los Aseh shebemikdash. We're talking about matan dam on the mizbeach. That's obviously something that's mikdash related. You're going to tell me Bal Tosef is not a mikdash related iser. Bal Tosef relates to everywhere. Bal Tosef could be by putting extra parshios in your tefillin, and by sitting in sukkah, by sleeping in sukkah and saying a brach on sukkah and shemini atzeret. Bal Tosef could be with all sorts of things. So what do you mean Bal Tosef is a mikdash related? So that's what the Ma'arik writes in the Tshuva, that in this application it's mikdash related, and therefore we say ein aseh docha lo aseh shebemikdash. So whereas Rashi understands that the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer is based on aseh docha lo aseh, Rashi and Zvathim and Tosos say that no, it can't be based on aseh docha lo aseh, either because aseh docha lo aseh doesn't technically apply over here because it's based on your own pshia, or because we never apply aseh docha lo aseh in mikdash. That's what the Ramban writes in his commentary on the Torah. The mitzvahs aseh are an expression of avas Hashem. Mitzvahs lo aseh are an expression of yiras Hashem. Avas Hashem is more powerful than yiras Hashem, and therefore aseh docha lo aseh. But in the mikdash, as mikdashai tirau, that the overwhelming sense when one gets in the mikdash is one of mara, one of yira. So because of that, in the mikdash, aseh is not going to be docha lo aseh. The lo aseh is going to be the dominant feeling in the mikdash. That's all Rabbi Eliezer's position. Rabbi Yeshua omer yinasin matana achas. Rabbi Yeshua says no, only do the matana achas, even though there's dam here from mechatas as well that requires matan dalit. So amrlo Rabbi Eliezer harei over al baltigra. So Rabbi Eliezer says, Rabbi Yeshua, how could you only do matana achas? You can be in violation of baltigra. So amrlo Rabbi Yeshua harei over al baltosif. What are you talking about? How could you do four matanos? You can be in violation of baltosif. So amrlo Rabbi Eliezer lo amru al kshu ba'atzmo. The issue of baltosif is only when the dam, when you have just dam that's of a bechor and you put it four times in the zvech. But when the dam is b'taroves, where it's mixed in with dam of a chatas that needs to be put four times in the zbeach, so that's not going to be a violation of Bal Tosef. So whenever it's b'taroves with that which requires matan arba and memela, the matnos dam of the matana achas is also going to be added to it now. That's only b'memela, and that's not going to be a violation of Bal Tosef. That's how the Ritva explains. The Meiri explains that Rebbe Lazar a little bit differently, that the Isra Bal Tosef is only when you're having kavana lahosef ala mitzvah, but when you're trying to be yotzei a safek, and because of that you need to be mosif, that's not called Bal Tosef. Lo nemar Bal Tosef el kashu ba'atzmo, that since the dam the dam is not alone, you don't put matan arba in order to be mosif, you're doing it in order to be yotzei a safek, and that's why it's not Bal Tosef. So Amalar Rabbi Shur responds back to Rabbi Lazar, lo nemar Bal Tigra el kashu ba'atzmo. Lo nemar Tigra also, according to the Meiri, is only when it's kavana ligara. Over here, you're not having any kavana ligara. You're just trying not to violate the Yisra of Bal Tosef. Or the way the Ritva understands it, Bal Tigra is not going to apply when the dam is betaroves. Va'odam Rabbi Shua, and Rabbi Shua tainus for this Rabbi Elazar, kishanasata avart al baltosif, vasisa ma'asim b'yodecha. Let's assume that this idea of lo nemra baltigra baltosif el shabasma doesn't apply. Let's assume that you have to make a choice, and you're either going to violate baltigra or baltosif. Well, which one do you think is worth violating? Says Rabbi Yeshua, when you do the extra matanos, avart al baltosif, vasisa ma'asim b'yodecha, you're actively violating baltosif. You're doing more matanos of them. But when you don't do the matanos of dam, you're violating baltigra and you're not doing ma'asi b'adecha. So says Gemara, this is exactly our case about climbing a tree on Shabbos. Should you come down from the tree on Shabbos? How in the world is this exactly the case of climbing the tree on Shabbos? It must be that Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that you should be active and sprinkle four times in violation of baltosif, should hold that you should actively climb down from the tree rather than passively stay there and be in violation of being in the tree for the rest of Shabbos. And Rabbi Yeshua holds that you should be passive and only sprinkle once in violation of baltigra, may hold that you're not supposed to climb down. Be passive and stay in the tree, even though you're nechinami, it's going to be a violation. Says Gemara, no, it's a bad comparison. First Gemara makes the comparison. According to Rabbi Lazar, who thinks that it's better to be active, so he'll tell you to climb down from the tree. Rabbi Shua says better to be passive, so he'll tell you not to climb down from the tree. Says Mar Dilma Lohi. Maybe these two machlokas are not at all connected. Ad kano kam Rabbi Lazar Hasam. Kumasei adif eladuka avid mitzvah avalach the law avid mitzvah hachinami lo yerid. Maybe Rabbi Lezer only says that you should climb down that you should do the matan dam because you're doing a mitzvah by sprinkling four times. Climbing down from a tree is not a mitzvah. That's for sure not a mitzvah. So maybe he will tell you lo yerid. Inami akal kam Rabbi Yeshua hasam shevi al tasa adif. And maybe Rabbi Yeshua would be mod in our case also because Rabbi Yeshua only says over there to do matan achas because shevi al because by being shevi alta, say you're not doing any avera. But by climbing down, you're doing a maisa avera. So maybe over here it could be that he would hold that you should be your. I'm sorry. By not climbing down, by staying there, you're violating an Isser. By staying up in the tree, you're violating an Isser. So when did Rabbi Yeshua say that you should only do matanachas? By not doing Arba Matanos to the carbon, you're not doing a Maisa Isser. So yeah, it's a violation of Baltigra, but it's totally passive. Whereas over here, by staying in the tree, it is a Maisa Isser. So maybe Rabbi Yeshua would say that you should be Yored. So because every moment in the tree, you're being mishtamish b'mechubar. So tani chada, echad ilan nach, echad ilan yavesh. V'tani idach b'medvar mumur b'lach, havel b'yavesh mutter. Now we have another stira in brises, that there's a contradiction between two brises, whether it's mutter to sit on high roots of dried out trees, or do we assume that dried out trees are mutter? So I'm revidolo kasha, kan b'gizom shegizom machlif, kan b'she'en gizom machlif. That the brisa that asers even dried trees is talking about a tree that's going to regenerate, and the brisa that is matir, some other tree that's never—it's totally dried out. It's never going to regenerate. Says Gemara, gizom achlev yavesh karisalei. If it's going to regenerate, then you wouldn't call that a dried out tree. So that can't be the answer. Elo kasha kan bimos achama kan bimos hagishamim. The brisa that allows it is talking about during the summertime, where all the trees have leaves and the dried out tree is the only one. The dead tree is sticks out, and there's no chashash that someone's a marisayin, that someone's going to think that you're allowed to climb a regular tree. Everyone's going to realize it's a dead tree. But in most hagishamim, where the trees are all empty from their leaves, so you're going to be sitting on the dried out dead tree, but everyone's going to think that you're allowed to use any tree. So b'imos hachama hanashipiri says Gemara, wait a second. And during imos hachama, during the summertime, there by going up and down, anyway, you're going to be removing peros from the tree. So says Gemara b'dilakapiri. No, we're talking about that there are no peros. But even if there are no peros, there are going to be branches and things like that that you're going to be pulling off of the tree. Says Gemara b'geduda. We're talking about that all of the loose branches have been removed from the tree. Eini va'ravik la'afsatya va'asar b'geduda. But Rav once went to a place called Afsatya, and he didn't even allow them to use a tree that has been pared down from all of its branches. Says to Gemara that it's mutter to go on a good gedudya, like we said based on the Braisa. But Rav Bikum Matza uvigadar bageder. When Rav saw the Bnei Avsatya, this place, he didn't answer because the Ikra Din is that it has to be Asr. He saw that they're not Bnei Torah, they're not going to know how to be careful, and therefore he thought that it was a Bika Prutza. He thought that there was this wide open opportunity for violation, and therefore he decided to be extra machmir on the people of that location. New topic. Person not allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos. Why? That someone who walks quickly with their feet is called a chote. Because sometimes when you walk quickly, you're going to be pulling out the grass on Shabbos, and that's a chote. So tani chad, tani idach. Aser, we have a stira between two brisos. Is it mutter or aser to walk on grass on Shabbos? So says Gemara, five resolutions to the contradiction. Lo kasha, ha belachim, ha beivation. That the brisa said asers is when it's moist grass that you're going to pull out. But dry grass, it's already considered to be talosh, and therefore you're not going to violate anything by pulling it out. Vi bayisema, ha belachim. They're both talking about moist grass. Lo kasha, kan bi mosachama, in the summertime, they're going to be pulled out. Where it's not going to be pulled out. Maybe they're both in the summertime. Lo kasha. One is when you're wearing shoes, and therefore it's not going to pull out the grass. But when you're not wearing shoes, it'll get caught between your toes, and then you'll pull out the grass. Maybe they're both talking about where you're wearing shoes. Lo kasha. Are you wearing heels or cleats or something like that? So if you're wearing something like that, that's going to pull out grass. A lot of women will tell you that they learned in seminary or in school, whatever, that they should not wear heels on grass on Shabbos. So that's based on this idea that it's going to pull out the grass. V'yibay seima, hava adislay uksir. Maybe they're both talking about where you are wearing cleats or heels. Had islay sharcha, had leslay sharcha. That one is talking about where the grass is long, and through that it's going to get caught and be uprooted. Whereas if the grass is very low trimmed, it's not going to be uprooted. But anyway, all of these chilukim are irrelevant, says the Gemara, because we pass like Rabbi Shimon, the Tavashen Miskavin is mutter, and since Tavashen Miskavin is mutter, it's totally mutter to walk on grass on Shabbos. So the Rishonim make the obvious point, unless it's Pesach Reshe. Meaning, if you know that it's going to be a Pesach Reshe, that even though the Gemara says that Tavashen Miskavin is mutter, and therefore you're allowed to walk in heels and cleats on moist grass in the summertime, whatever, with all the conditions, but if you know for sure that it's going to pull up some grass, then it's going to be us, and it's going to be a Pesach Reshe. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Chananel that this is only ba'asavim, but we can't prove from here that you're allowed to climb a tree because you're Eino Miskavin Litlosh, because by a tree, even a dry one, there's a greater reason for gzeira than there is by grass, because the height of the tree, it becomes more recognizable when you're pulling things off of the tree. It's less recognizable when you're walking along the grass, and we're not going to make a gzeira as long as it's not a Pesach Reshe. But by a tree, even though it's Dovah Shein Miskabin, it's a particular gezeira midrabanon that you're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. So that's what those quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel. The Rush points out that the Rif leaves out the din of an Ilan Yavesh. Sounds like he paskins that there's no difference between an Ilan Yavesh and a Savim. And the Beis Yosef explains the Rush, and according to the way the Rush understands the Rif, is that when the Gemara says, Vahid, the Kaim and Krabishim and Kulu Shari, that's even going on the tree as well. So that's a Machlokas Rishonim. Are you, based on this idea that Dovah Shein Miskabin is Mutter, are you allowed to even climb a tree? Psak Halacha, Rov Rishonim. The Rif, the Rambam, the Rash, the Rush, the Ritva, paskin like the Maskana, you're allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos. However, the Urayim and the Smag say that you're not allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos when you know that you're going to be Tolesh as you walk along. So in Bir Alach and Sim Shilam and Vav, he says that he explains the sheet of the Urayim and the Smag that the Urayim and the Smag think it's not Mistaver. The Ravasi says you're not allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos, and it's just totally rejected the Maskana. So they explain that the Sugya is talking about when you're walking Benachas Al Gabei Asavim, when you're walking slowly. But if you're running, then it becomes a Pesach Reshe, and that's what Ravasi was talking about, right? What did Ravasi say? It was means your feet are moving quickly. So when you're running, then you're going to be a chote. But walking on grass, then you're not going to be a chote. So that's how the Bir Alach explains that it all depends the pace at which you're going on grass. Another comment of Ravasi: person is not allowed to force his wife for tashmish amita shenemar, because the pasuk pasuk says va'atz paraglayim chote, that someone who forces his wife for tashmish is which is considered a chote. V'amr b'shem levi kol hakofi yishol l'dvar mitzvah having l'banim shenim uganim, his children are going to be rasha'im if he forces his wife l'dvar mitzvah. Amr avika barachina mikra, what's the pasuk that's merames to this? Pasuk says gam below das nefesh lo tov, that if the woman is involved below das, she didn't approve, then nefesh lo tov, then the resulting child from that union is going to be lo tov. Tanya namiach gam below das nefesh lo tov ze akof yishol l'dvar mitzvah. Price says this explicitly. V'atz paraglayim chote ze abol v'shone, and atz paraglayim chote is a reference to someone who has bia more than once with his wife because he's being matriach his wife more than she wants. Say eini v'amarava rotzalas is kol banam zecharim yivol v'yishne. Aye, but didn't we learn that if a person wants to ensure that all of his children will be male, that he should be bol v'shone? Sounds like it's a positive thing to be bol v'shone, because by the second time he'll be mazriya tchila, and the Gemara Nida says she'll be mazriya tchila, and the Gemara Nida says that ishta mazriya tchila banav zecharim. So lo kasha kan ledas kan shalol ledas, it's all whether the woman is interested in it. So if she's interested in the second time, then it's banav zecharim. If she's not interested, then the person is a rasha, and it's going to be very terrible things. If a woman is toveya her husband for a dvar mitzvah, she asks for bia, having they'll have such wonderful children that you couldn't even find such people in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is looking for members of the Sanhedrin that are chachamim and nevonim and yiduim. And uksiv, the pasuk says, v'akachas rosh shivteichem anashim chacham v'yiduim v'ilu nevonim l'ashkach. They couldn't find anybody who had all those qualities. V'ilu gabe Leah uksiv, but by Leah it says v'teitze Leah l'krasov v'tomrei light avok yischar schaticha. Leah was tovea Yaakov to come to her, and ksiv u'mbnei yisachar yodei bina li'itim l'das ma'yasi yisrael v'shem asayim v'cholachem al piyam, that you see they found nevonim, that they were zofet to a child that was nevon. So you see from there that when a woman is toveya the husband to the dvar mitzvah, they can have children that are even greater than the people who served on the Sanhedrin in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Says Umar, Eini, Vam Rav Yitzhak Rav Dimi, Eser Klalos and Skal L'Chava, there were 10 Klalos that Chava had, the Chsiv, Eli Isha Amar, Harba Arba, Elu Shnei Tipei Damim, Achas Dam Nida, Vachas Dam Besulim. Those are the first two klalos that she has to deal with Dam Nida and Dam Besulim, which is annoying for her to deal with. Etzvanei, Tzar Gidol Banim. That's the third klalos to deal with Tzar Gidol Banim more so than the man has to deal with. Vehironei, Tzar Ibor, the challenges of pregnancy. Beitzvi Telen Banim, Kimash Maos, that the challenges of the actual childbirth, of labor. Velishach Chuka Seich, Mlam Shisha Mishtokech, Salbayel Beshoshi Yotze Lederach, that a woman misses her husband when he travels. That a woman has to only be tovea tashmish belev, but doesn't say it explicitly, whereas a man is tovea bepeh. In that sense, he's moshel over her, and he mida tova zui mida tova benashim, and that's the proper mida by nashim. But you see that it's mida tova not to be tovea bepeh. So how can you say that everyone should be like Leah and be tovea bepeh, and then they're going to have children that are greater than the Sanhedrin of Moshe Rabbeinu? So kikamrin and demeratzi artzuya kamei. No, what we're saying, not that she should explicitly say it, but she should act in such a way that makes it obvious that she's interested. Hani Shevag, it says where you told us that there are 10 klalos, then you only listed 7. So Kiyasa Rav Dimi, Amari added 3 more. Atufa Ka'avel, that a woman covers her hair, she's wrapped, she has an atifas harosh like an avel, Umenuda Mikol Adam, and she has to stay distant from all other people, V'chavusha Bebeis HaAsurim, and she's locked in a jail in the sense that Kol Kavud Bas Melech Pnima, that she doesn't go out very much. So my menu to be called Adam, what does it mean that she's menu to be called Adam? She has no connection with other people. You tell me about an Isu Yichud, a man also has an Isu Yichud. No, it means that she's not allowed to marry more than one person. That's what it means. She can't be with other people. And the Brisa taught that she grows hair like a shade, like a lilis, like a demon. And another curse that she sits and crouches when she urinates like a behema, Venas is Karla Baila, and she becomes like a cushion for her husband because the husband is on top during Tashmish Shamita. V'idach, and Rav Dimi, who didn't count these last three among the curses, Hani Shevachula. These are good things, these aren't curses. The fact that she's Megadel Aser could be very beautiful if she knows how to keep her hair neat. And the fact that she's a Shevas Mishtana is a Derech Tznius that she urinates in that way. And the fact that she's Karla Baila means that she doesn't have to be Matriach herself so much much during Tashma Shemitah. Dam Reb Chiya, what does the pasuk say? Meaning when it says Malfenu mibahemos haaretz umeof hashemayim yichak menu Malfenu mibahemos zu pirda shakaras mashtenas mayim umeof hashemayim yichmin is that tarnugol shemfayis vachakbol. We can learn things from the animals. A mule bows, bends, and then bederek tsnius, and then urinates, and people can learn from that. Meof hashemayim tarnugol is mefayis is ishto, and only then is boel. We can learn from that as well. Amr Reb Yochanan mali lanit natora. Had the Torah ever been given, we would have learned sneus from a cat. We would have learned how terrible it is to steal from an ant who collects all his own food and does all that work. We would have learned arayos from a yona that's only in his dakik to ben zugo. And we've learned derech eretz in tashmish from a tarnagol shemefayis v'achar kachbol that the tarnagol is mefayis and is only then boel. So Rav Aryeh Lichtenstein has an essay on the topic of is there an ethic independent of the Torah? He says, so he starts off the essay by saying it's a mefurish gemara, erevin kufam beis, that we would learn ethics even without the Torah from the animal life. And then he writes 30 pages. So my mefayisla, so what does it mean that he's mefayisler? Some Rav Yudah Amarav, hachi ka'amala, zavinun lach ziga dematulai chad karech. He spreads his wings as if to say, I'm going to buy you a nice, beautiful coat. Lebasarachi, and then afterwards, amala lishtamite lekarbute deutar gola, I isle velo zavinun lach. That he curses himself that I should have my crop cut off if I would be able to afford the coat and I don't buy it for you. So he says nice things to her that he's interested in taking care of her. Okay, I'll go to Fetish, everybody. Tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the top of Daf Kuf Aleph.